Time for some NASCAR talk here on Drive Time Sports. Coming up on Sunday, the Daytona 500. Can you believe that NASCAR is back already? Seems like it never left, right? Joining us right now over the phone to talk about some of the storylines circulating in the Daytona 500 and maybe some underdogs, some of the guys you got to keep an eye on. We have Woody Cain of the Motor Racing Network. Woody Cain is a pit announcer. Also, he handles all the pre-race activity for the Motor Racing Network. Woody, as always, a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Glad to do it. It's that time of year again, right?
It's that time of the year, and I can hear I can hear some noise in the background. You're at the track, no doubt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Daytona Media Day here, and they've got one of the driving schools or ride-along programs going on as well outside. I'm actually standing in Victory Lane right now.
Woody, as we gear up for the Daytona 500, I mean, this year it seems like there's a little less drama in the build-up to it. We had 40 cars, right? I mean, it was that simple. A lot less drama going into the qualification.
Well, maybe a lot less in terms of nobody's going to go home, but everybody still wants to have a good starting position, and they're all trying to figure out the new rules package, particularly the ride height rule, where the rear of the cars is sitting on the track. It looks like they've all got a month's worth of groceries in the trunk riding around out there. They're trying to figure that out and how these cars act and perform in the draft. So that's one of the main things they're trying to figure out, and there is drama in that as they try and learn the new pit stop sequence with only five guys over the wall. There's a lot of that type of thing that they're trying to figure out right now. So in that respect, there is some drama.
As far as the rule sets go, is there any massive changes that the spectators need to be aware of going into this year, something that could definitely be altering? I know we've talked about the stages in the past years. There's been a lot of point change rules, but is there anything this year, Woody, that stands out to you?
Well, there's a new inspection process, and fans won't notice that all that much, other than it will speed things up significantly. You won't have a lot of situations, we hope, where there are cars sitting in line trying to get through tech when qualifying starts or when the race is about to start. That hopefully will be eliminated. Also, more visible to the fans is going to be the pit sequence with only five guys over the wall. Pit stops will be slower. NASCAR is providing the air guns to change the tires with. That's a little slower. So the pit stops may seem a little slower at first, and then I think it'll take them a few races to try and get a handle on that. And they're all doing it a little bit differently right now, but once they figure out who's got it down the best, they'll all copy that. And by a few races in, I don't think that'll be as big of an issue as it will be early.
Now, Woody, you did mention it is Media Day. What are some of the hot storylines that seem to be pushing the media in a certain direction on Media Day?
Well, a lot of it seems to be the young guys. There are a lot of young drivers coming in and taking spots that have been held by veterans for past few years. Average age, I think, of this field is going to be one of the youngest that we've seen in many, many years, if not ever. So I think that's one of the big things that a lot of guys are talking about today. And everybody is also talking about how these cars are acting in the draft. They all sent their cars back after qualifying to get them worked on. They're trying to figure out how they can make they impounded them, but they're trying to figure out back at the shop what kind of changes they can make to their cars to make them perform like they want in the draft. We saw at the end of the Clash the other night that there was a reluctance to pull out of line and try and make moves because guys are saying the cars handled great for about five laps and then they kind of go away quickly and really go away. So I think they're worried about making them handle like they want to. Daytona is more of a handling style track than, say, Talladega in terms of super speedway racing.
As far as Danica Patrick goes, that's a fun storyline as well, right? I mean, we're getting down to the end of Danica Patrick's NASCAR career.
Yeah, we really are, and this is one of the tracks that she's performed very well at. She won the pole a few years ago. She's got a good car. Tony Urey Jr. is the crew chief, and I think she would like to go out with a strong finish here. And as we've seen on super speedways, anybody can win pretty much. So I think she's going to be in the mix for how long. We'll have to wait and see, but I think she does perform very well here at Daytona.
Does it appear that Danica is maybe not under as much pressure knowing that the end is near, and how could that play into a factor for her run at Daytona this year?
I think so. I think that's a definite factor. She doesn't have to worry about points and letting a bad race impact her whole season. This is a one-off deal, so I think she's going to go out there and be able to let it all hang out and see if she can get one last good finish. And keep in mind, she still has the Indianapolis 500 on her radar as well.
Yeah, that's definitely something to pay attention to. As far as Bubba Wallace goes, it's a guy that we have talked a lot about here on the show. Again, he is now filling in for Richard Petty, well, in full time for Richard Petty, taking over for the car that was once drove by Eric Amarola. What is Bubba Wallace? What has his impact been around Media Day and now that we're gearing up for the Daytona?
Listen, I really think this guy is going to be a star. He is well-spoken. He's got that youthful vibe that the sport really needs to come in. He's very, very competitive. I talked to him like 5 minutes ago, actually. He's struggling with a little bit of a cold right now. But I don't think they're going to come out of the gates and be gangbusters. As we said, anybody can win at Daytona, but I don't think with this team it's going to take them a little while, and they'll build and grow as the season goes on. Remember, they're based at Richard Childress Racing now, and they're over to Chevrolet. So he says that he feels like they can compete very strongly. I don't know if they'll be able to do it right out of the box, but they will get better as the season goes on and be a factor by the end of the season, I believe. And plus, he's just a lot of fun to talk to.
No, he is. He is. We got to talk to him last year at the Las Vegas race, big Bubba Wallace guy. Outside of that, with some of the stars, you and I had this conversation the last time we had you on the show. No Jeff Gordon, no Tony Stewart, no Dale Earnhardt Jr., and you said a lot of focus on the young guys. Outside of Bubba Wallace, who else should the casual spectators be paying attention to?
Well, Alex Bowman, the pole sitter, for one. That's a very good super speedway car, the 88. He's taking the seat from Dale Earnhardt Jr. Eric Jones is now full-time with Gibbs instead of over at Furniture Row Racing, even though they were affiliated. William Byron is a guy to keep an eye on. He is a very, very quick learner, and I think that's a guy who, about midway in the season, you'll see a light bulb go off, and he'll be competitive week after week after week. So those are some of the guys I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And remember, we're still looking for Chase Elliott to get that first victory, too. He's not an old guy by any stretch.
No, I was going to ask you about Chase Elliott. To me, this guy packs a lot of star power. I mean, I really think that he could be the face of NASCAR if things were to go his way over the next couple of years.
Yeah, look how the fans reacted when he and Denny Hamlin got nose-to-nose late last year and kind of jawed at each other a little bit. He's got his number 9 on the car this year that his father made famous when he was behind the wheel. So I think a lot of things are playing in Chase's favor, and I think you're right. I think he is a guy that a lot of fans will gravitate toward, particularly if he has some success early in the season.
What are the expectations now for Martin Truex Jr.? Obviously, I know what the expectations are, but how does it change for him after a highly successful 2017 year?
Well, he says, why can't we go win two? He thinks they can do it again. I think there will be some situations that are beyond their control. As we mentioned, some of the things with the rules package here, the pit crew changes may be something that's a little different for them to figure out. So we'll see how they come out of the box. There's no reason to think they can't jump out as strong as they were at the end of last season. They were just dominant all year. And I think, really, they figured out stage racing quicker than anybody and realized that accumulating those points was going to be key. Late in the season, there was a time when it looked as if, well, there's no way they're going to be able to derail him from being in the championship four at Homestead, and that turned out to be the case. They figured that out earlier than everybody else. The rest of the field has now caught on to that plan.
I know one of the terms that's been floated around by the media is calling Jimmy Johnson a grandpa. This guy's looking for his 8th championship, and it's odd that we're calling him that, right? But the field is so young, it's so new, that, yeah, he's the old guy now, right?
Yes, he is. But he points out that when he first came up, Jeff Gordon was in that role at Hendrick Motorsports, and he was the young guy. And he feels like these new faces can add some fresh perspective, maybe a fresh set of eyes on mechanical issues or aero issues that they might want to try that will help the team as a whole rather than doing things the way they've always done them. So he is very energized and ready to get back behind the wheel and see if he can get that championship. Last year, that 8th championship, last year wasn't a situation where they felt like they were as strong as they had been in previous seasons. Now with the new Camaro, I think they're going to be very stout. The Camaros have been very strong here, particularly in single car speed. So I think once they can get lined up in a big group, that's going to be something to watch.
Okay, if we talk about the Daytona 500, Woody, go ahead and throw out a name that the casual spectator should be aware of. Who's the guy that slides under the radar in this race?
I think maybe a Ryan Blaney. The Fords have been very strong. He's been very strong, and he's already got a win under his belt. He's another one of those guys that a lot of fans may gravitate toward, and I think he's got very good equipment. He's bringing practically his whole crew with him that he had when he was at the Wood Brothers, so I think that's a guy that maybe a lot of folks aren't talking enough about. I really think Ryan Blaney's going to have a stout year.
And Woody, last question before I let you go. I want to get it from a perspective of someone in your position. What does the Daytona 500 mean to the sport of NASCAR? How would you describe that to someone?
Well, it's our Super Bowl. It's the biggest race of the year, but the difference is it's at the beginning of the season rather than the end. I mean, Homestead is the championship race, but the one that everybody wants to win is Daytona. They don't call you a Daytona 500 winner when you get it. They call you a Daytona 500 champion. It is the biggest race in our sport, bar none. It's just unusual that it's at the beginning of the season. Unlike most other sports, their big event is at the end.
Woody, lastly, before we let you go ahead and let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
MRN.com has all of our shows. I got Motorsports Monday every Monday at noon with Joey Meyer, who's Brad Keselowski's spotter. NASCAR Today, our daily news show, and PM Drive every weekday. And I'll be co-hosting the pre-race show all season long with Kim Kuhn before all of our MRN Cup races, and that's a lot of fun. She is a real blast, and we have a lot of fun with that show.
Woody, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again for your insight. Enjoy the week at Daytona, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
You bet. We'll do it. Thanks.
Again, that's Woody Kane with the Motor Racing Network at the very loud Daytona 500. I think that's the first time we've ever had anyone from MRN join us, sitting in victory lane, getting set for a race as far as the qualifying goes. That's Woody Kane. And we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow, best of edition coming your way. We're going to recap some of my favorite segments from throughout the week. Busy sports weekend. We're also going to have tomorrow Emory Lady Sporting State Tournament action. They will take on Providence Hall. Saturday, the Emory Sporting Boys basketball team will be back at it. State Tournament against South Summit. We get USU Eastern Saturday night, and then the Daytona 500 on Sunday. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be safe. We are out.